You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
I had such a hard time, Pastor Corinne, finding a title for this message. The message didn't change. I just wanted a catchy title. And I was seven things that make a great father. Or I was going to talk about the prodigal dad. So I ended up with building the perfect father. Building the perfect father. Now, I'm not saying when I say build the perfect father, I'm not saying that it's a father who cannot make mistakes. I'm saying that there's a design that God gives us in his word of what a father's supposed to be. Don't mean you don't make mistakes, but we understand the strategy, the path to get to be the perfect father God has intended us to be. Now, of course, the question is today, are you going to be moved or are you going to be changed? Because you know that I can preach good. The last 3 weeks, it was in Mexico, London, and Paris. So I can preach good, or they're spending a lot of money on airfare. Hotel food and honorariums, good God almighty. So I know I can do that, but I don't want to move you. I want to build you. It's a difference, okay? A lady goes to see a doctor. A man goes to see a doctor, and when he gets there, the doctor says, "You're in terrible shape. Matter of fact, you're dying." And he says, "You're under terrible stress. You're eating very poorly." He said, "There's going to have to be some drastic changes for you to live. You're going to have to change your diet. You're going to have to tell your wife. She's going to have to cook nutritious for you. So that you can live. You also are going to have to tell your wife that you need to have less stress in your life. She needs to take care of the children more and get them off of you and give you some me time." He said, "And lastly, you're going to have to get out from underneath the stress of this finances. You're going to need to tell your wife you need to be on a budget, and you've got to stay inside that budget." And the man was devastated, because he says, "If you don't, you'll be dead in a month. But if you do these things, you can get well and live." He said, "Doctor," he said, "I'm going to drive home right now. Would you mind calling my wife and telling her this?" Pete, why are you laughing? So when he walks in the door, the wife comes out and she's weeping and she's crying. And he said, "Did you talk to the doctor?" And he said, "Yes, I did." The doctor says, "You only have 30 days to live." Okay. In other words, she wasn't going to change. And he was going to die. And that was that. And isn't that so true about us and our life? We come to God's house. We read the word. We get in his presence. We listen to praise music. We do all of these things. And oh my God, it moves our hearts, but it doesn't change us. So today I'm talking about building the perfect father. Building the perfect father. Now, if you want to know the difference, David, and Father's Day and Mother's Day, they ask a little boy, they says, "What's the difference in Father's Day and Mother's Day?" He says, "Well, the difference is in the present. Mother's Day just costs more." And all of you that are fathers know that that's the truth. How, you see the presents moms get and you just go, "Oh my God, this is great." Father's afterthought. Okay. Now that I've got that out of my system. Okay, I stand corrected. No further questions. So we go to Luke, the 15th chapter. Most people who talk about this and teach about this, they talk about it from the son's point of view. Was it very devastating that he leaves home, selfishly claims half of all the properties, liquidates those at the prospect of making his father bankrupt? And he goes, he wastes money, he wastes his money. He does everything different than the father taught him to do. So all of these bad reports come back to dad. There is a sense of hopelessness in dad. But God is telling us in this passage of scripture how to build the perfect father. And how to build the perfect father is, number one, it says, and while the son was far off, he saw him. Number one is a father's eyes. You've got to see things from way off that nobody else can see. You need to see your children when they're that age and know what they're going to be at that age and know what they're going to be at that age. You have to see like a father. He was looking for his son's repentance. Now, here's a very interesting thing that you might not have ever heard anybody preach. But there's two stories in Luke 15 before the prodigal son story. The first one is about sheep. Now, the moral of the story is, who, having 100 sheep and losing one, would not leave the 99 and go get the one? That's the moral of the story. Now, the reality of the story is, what a shepherd does is he breaks one of the legs, the sheep's legs, and says, don't ever wander off again. Okay. But that's not humans. That's not fathering. That's shepherding. And people a lot of times get those two things confused, and they keep calling themselves lambs, when I will show you in a minute from Genesis 1:26, we were made in his likeness and in his image. So therefore, he said, let us make man. Who's us? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the first thing God ever builds is fathers. Good. Let us build man in our image. So how important is fathers? It's the first thing God builds on earth. Father could see things no one else could see. Fathers must have the eyes of discernment, that you not see what's just happening right now. It's what you text me this morning, Pete. It's that you can see what's happening down the road. That you can say to your sons and your children and those that you spiritually father, I see where you are, but if you keep going this way down the road, that's going to happen. A good father has father's eyes. Okay, so the second story in Luke 15 is the story of the lost coin, right? They move all the furniture, she calls in all the neighbors, and she seeks. But father's instinct is different. The Bible didn't say, Nathan, he ran out looking for the boy. No, that's not the father's instinct. The father wanted to go out. But the father understands the power of the process. And if he had have gone rescued him, he would have repeated the same cycle over and over and over. A father saw what was happening and said, this kills me, but I've got to step back here and watch the process lived out. See, a father can see through the process to the end of the process, which is that your children win, that your children are victorious, but you can't go when you want to go. A father's eyes, he never made one step toward the child, but he kept looking for the child. I believe every morning, Dennis, he got up, he was praying. Now, I will tell you this, in a father's eyes, there's a difference in faith and believing. Faith is this level. Believing is this level. Help thou my unbelief. Believing is, I know it. Faith is, I really want it to happen. I'm going to speak it that it happens. Believe is, it's already happened. And I want to say over all your children, they're your children. They've been dedicated to God. They've been covered by the blood of Jesus. And in my eyes, in a father's eyes, I see them all restored. It does not matter. I see them all victorious. I see them all walking in their destiny. That's what I see. And God starts with vision. He always starts with, without a vision, people are all over the place. They cast off all restraints. They perish because, darling, they have no focus. Okay? So we see, number one, we're building a father. It starts with the eyes. Number two, it moves to the heart. The Message translation says, his heart started pounding. The beginning of any miracle is compassion. The Bible says, he looked over the city and he began to cry and he began to have compassion because it was like they had no fathers. They were scattered. They were weary. They were missed. A father. Now, for those of you that are worried about fatherhood, I watch my little Corinne, Pastor Corinne. Her and Christian have got a thing. I'm telling you, it is a strong thing. Oh, my God. He loves Granddad. He loves Mimi. He even loves Papa. But now, this is the quintessential everything. He does not understand where his place is going to be when he grows up because he's marrying her. That's right. But great father's eyes. Everybody say eyes. Then the father's heart. The heart is just wait a while. Because Esperanza is 2 years older. Now when she gets to place, she needs somebody. She walks right past her and she comes right. She wants nobody but daddy. Yes. Yeah. A father's heart. A father's heart is patient. You might not be number one right now. Do the right thing. Your time's coming. When my son... It was a long time waiting on my son because right before he moved out, bought his own place, every day, not some days, every day, he would go on a walk with his mom. And this walk would go for an eternity. And I would be at the house going, when are they coming back and what are they talking about? And I was going, people ask me counsel from around the world. People call. They pay me big money for me to tell them. And yet my own son doesn't want to know. Okay. Because a mother gets the secrets because she has their heart. A daddy lays the foundation because he should be the source of wisdom and authority. Now, Pastor Josh and I go on walks. He says, Mom, pray about it. Dad, can I talk to Dad? Are you hearing? A father's heart has full of compassion, but he's not worried if he doesn't get first place. So number one, we know about the father's eyes. Number two, we know about a father's heart that's quick to forgive, but slow to judgment and punishment. Number three, a father is a man of action. He saw him, his heart pounded, but he didn't say, well, you spent all my money, you did all that, you know, I'm right where you left me. No. The Bible says he saw him, and the Bible says he ran toward him. Life is about doors and windows. It's about timing. Everything in God is about timing. And a father has to know it's time for action. When it's time to move, it's time to move. I sit there and I'm patient and I wait as my children go through the process and the people I cover go through the process. But D, I'm like this. Just say go. I'm in the blocks. Just shoot the gun and I'm gone. Fathers must be not just hearers of the word, but with action. Our church in Atlanta was exploding in growth. We were having about 5,000 or 6,000 on Sunday morning. And so my son, he had to come to both of the services, your pastor. And I realized it was a little tough. He did not want to go to children's church. He wanted to be in big church, and he wanted to sit on the front row. Because even then, he knew his destiny. I said, even then, he knew his destiny. Fathers give their children their identity. Okay. And so I said, I've got to take action. I've got to make church more interesting to him. And so I came to him and I said, buddy, there's only 15 minutes in between service. But if you'll be ready at the end of the altar call right here, I'll fly out the back door. The car will be running, and we will run to the convenience store, and as much candy and as much sweets as you want, I'll buy it for you. He said, Dad, I love church. I love church. Now, we had to do this on the down low, because if Sonny would have found out that he needs to eat his good food first, but we trumped that rule because I needed to make my son love church. I needed to take action. And so I would say, we called it getting on the stick. I would say, now, buddy, we have to get on the stick. We got to make this happen. Amen. And he would be ready. And we both knew what we wanted. We flew into the convenience store. My God, there was honey buns being thrown into the microwave, bear claws, there was candy corn, it was awesome. He had a bag, I had a bag. And so during the second service, I would be sitting there like this and going, hallelujah, because now my uncle didn't do 2-hour services. No. We went. The second service went forever. And so we were prepared to go the distance. And by the time It got time to praise God. At the end, we were so jacked up on sugar. Praise. The same God that gives you a word will give you a plan. God is a God of action. An action. Number four. The Father, a great Father, understands the power of touch. The Bible says he went and he embraced him. He embraced him. He embraced him. And can I just go on side note here out of Ephesians 5? The greatest thing that will make your children feel safe in your fatherhood, in your fatherhood, is the way you love and celebrate their mother in front of them. Now, I understand that there is something innate within a child that when they see their father making public shows of affection, there's a nauseation that comes upon the children. You know that that's true. And they're just going, God, for the love of God, get your tongue out. Okay. They hate it, but they love it. Because a real father understands that if he models in front of them the power of touch. Just got back from England. You'll love this illustration. Psychiatrists did an experiment on the most violent gang member children in England. Young men that were violent young men who had been in jail came out, and this is what they taught them. As a father, if you would touch them 10 times a day, they did this experiment, and AJ, at the end, the miraculous transformation that happened just by a father's touch. Just by a father's touch. What did Jesus need when he came to earth? He's baptized. God breaks heaven open and he goes, this is my son. And he sends the Holy Ghost down and touches his son in front of everybody. Touch changes everything. That's why Jesus said, and I felt virtue leave my body, because somebody touched me. It wasn't even him. It was just his clothes. Somebody touched. Everybody needs to be touched. You just don't know what you just did. Reach over to somebody and just touch them. Touch somebody, and virtue flows. And virtue flows. The next thing we see is love and affirmation. It says, and the Father kissed him. And the Father reached out and kissed him, because his first words to his Father is, I'm not worthy to be called a son. But if you'll let me just come back and be a servant. I love the Message translation, son. It said, but the Father wasn't listening. Fathers have to have selective hearing. Some things that they say, I don't hear that. I'm sorry, I don't hear that. You don't need me? I don't hear that. You're mad at me? I'm sorry, I don't hear. Your mouth was moving, but I didn't hear anything. Right? Isn't that right, D? Sometimes Diamond has said some stuff, and you just went, I didn't hear that. I didn't. Fathers, Luke, fathers don't hear certain things. That was not even worthy of a comment, because he loved him. If Officer James responded to everything that was said to him, he'd be in prison. Yeah, he would be. He would be. But you know what? When they say those things, James, you're a father. And fathers just don't hear certain things. They don't, Clarence. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that because I'm a father. And I know your heart beyond your mouth. And so he kisses him. He calls his servants, man of action, a father of action. Quick, bring a clean set of clothes. Dress him. And so started his speech that was stupid. I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. Let me tell you what fathers should always respond to is when there is a repentant spirit. It's not time to hold a grudge. It's not time to prove a point. It's not time to be accusatory. It's time to look back and say, the next thing God called a father to be, that a father is all about restoration. That's why I love Hallmark movies. You can count on it, baby. You can count on it. They don't know each other. It gets good, then it gets real bad. It's impossible. And you realize there's 13 minutes left. And you realize that before the 13 minutes is over, restoration's going to happen. Love is going to happen. I know what the end of the word of God says. We win. All things work together for our good. Love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I love restoration. This house shall be called a place of restoration, a place where the broken are made whole. Healing waters flow and mercy abides here. My spear, says the Lord. A father's place is a house of restoration. And last thing that builds a father is that he's a spirit-filled man. Your children have to know that the Father is spirit-filled. It was Friday night. I was at the celebration of Lexus. And I wouldn't miss it for anything. I would have changed an appointment that paid me a lot of money to be there because I'm one of the fathers in his life. Say the father. I'm one of the fathers in his life, so I had to be there. My spirit made me go there. Every time I ever, for years, I would look at Minerva and I said, "How's our boy? How's our young man?" A spirit-led father, his children are never that far off of his mind. They're always thinking, what about my kids? What about the ones you've called me to cover? What about the ones? When I saw your boys playing, Diana, in church today, and worship was happening, their little bodies were moving. You don't teach a young man to be a father when he's grown up. You teach him to be a father when he's this age. Building the perfect father. Ephesians 4:6-4 says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Don't exasperate them Don't humiliate them. Don't show favoritism between them. Discipline them in the instruction of the Lord. Now, can I tell you something? I was raised in the era where if you ever ask your parents, you ever ask your dad why? That's right. That's exactly right. It was just a beat down. It was just a complete, there was no time for talking or anything. Why? Why do I have to do that? Why can't I do that? Well, as you're on your way to being whipped, it was because I said so. That was the proverbial because I said so. Can I tell you, in the right spirit, it's okay for your sons and your daughters to ask why, or how will they learn to think? How will they learn to think? How will they learn to process things? How will they learn to wisdom if they can't ask the question? And you see, we're raising children to be children of tremendous discipline. I am so proud of my son, Pastor Joshua. I am. I'm so proud of him. And so I think I just got whippings because it was in the calendar. We get up, have a good breakfast. We go out, we pray a little bit, go minister at church, come in, beat Dwayne. It was kind of in the daily routine. But I realized, listen, fathers, you owe it to be a better version of your father. You owe it to be a better version of your father. Because I remember there's a lot of things that my brother did that I got blamed for. And I'll never forget the devastation that happened in me when I got whipped for something. And I said, when I become a father, that's never going to happen. So Josh was just he was the finest young man. He really was. And he very rarely did anything wrong. Now, I can't say that for the girls, but I would say for Josh, he very rarely. And so whenever he did something wrong, I would say, okay, it's time to have the talk. And we would go into the restroom, and I would take him, and I would set him up on the lavatory where we could see eye to eye. And I'd say, all right, do you know what you did? He said, yes. I said, tell me. And he would tell me. I said, do you think that's wrong? He would say, yes, I do. I would say, what do you think we should do about it? He said, Dad, this talk is enough. All we needed was this talk. Now I understand everything clearly. You know what I said, John? Excellent. I wanted my child to understand how to be corrected just by words. And so I said, that's good, Josh. Excellent. Then we'd sit down and we'd go out. Then a couple weeks later, he'd do it again. And I'd say, let's go back, have another talk. I'd say, do you know what you did? And he would say, yes. I said, what do you think we should do? He said, Dad, this talk. I said, no, we already tried that. No, that didn't work. Now we're moving on to something else. Here's your options. Do you know why he's a great father today? Because the men in his life who modeled fatherhood. You know why he treats his wife great? It's because he watched Marco. He watched me. If you want to be a great father, who are you looking at? Build yourself after someone who has built themselves. It's like somebody wanting to change your body structure and going to somebody overweight. No. Go to a bodybuilder. That everything that they have said, they have done, and when they take their shirt off, you go, hallelujah, that's what I want. Okay. Acts 3:25, listen to this. You are the sons of the prophets and heirs of the covenant which God made with your fathers. God makes covenant with fathers. Genesis 3, Abraham, I want to bless you, the father, and your family so that all the families of the earth can be blessed. Matthew 1, the proper translation is, and one generation fathered the next generation, not begat, bad translation. One generation fathered. God's promises, listen men, are to fathers. For your family. You say, well, what if I'm a single parent? That's why we have the church. Because you do have a father. You have a heavenly father. You have a spiritual father. And we're there to cover. Because every promise that God made to my great-grandfather Swilly, my great-grandfather Paul, my great-grandfather Tomlin, that made to my grandfathers Paul and Swilly, that made to my father, that made to me, those covenants are for this house, for my children. It's the covenant that's been passed down to the fathers. He said to me 22, 23 years ago, you move your family to Miami, from this place, you'll touch the world. Hope was in Mexico, London, and France, at the three largest churches in the nations. That's hope. What happened here in this revival? The ripple effect of that will be felt around the world, because this is a church of every nation. Fathers. In Acts 7:31-23. Acts 7:31-33. Moses saw it. He was astonished at the sight. This is about the burning bush. When he looked more closely, the voice of the Lord God said, I am the God of your fathers. Therefore, the place you are standing is holy ground. Fathers create holy ground. You this past week saw Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. You understand there was a Ted Shuttlesworth Sr. You understand there was before him another generation. What you saw, as powerful as it was, you saw covenant passed down from father to father to father. And I will tell you, that just as sure as Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. will go on to do greater things than his father, it is every father's desire that they will so eclipse what they did. My belief, based on the word of God of Elijah to Elisha, is what this man will do will so eclipse everything that I ever did. And everything that I will do. All my children. That's the spirit of a father. That your children get a double portion or more of everything that you receive. 1 Corinthians 10:1. For I do not want you to be unaware that your fathers were all under the cloud. Fathers, we must teach our children not only how to be in the spirit, but how to follow the Spirit. The opposite of that, Hebrews 3:8, is do not harden your hearts as your fathers did. Listen to me, fathers. If you're not open and flexible before God, and if there's any rebellion in you, it will be in the DNA of your children. I said, the word of God, Paul is saying, you're just acting just like your daddies did. You're rebellious. You're hard-hearted. Hebrews 12:9 is that earthly fathers who disciplined us and submitted and we respected them for training us are building us. Shall we not so much more respond to the Father of spirits? My father knew absolutely nothing about athletics. My dad, when he was 10 years old during World War II, went to work because all the men were at war in Savannah, Georgia. As a matter of fact, at 10, he was the foreman of his crew, which was made up of two 80-year-old men. At 10. Then my father delivered ice. That's before there was ice makers or ice machines. You got a block of ice. My dad delivered that. My dad worked. The year he was getting married, my dad made concrete blocks in the backyard and sold them. He had his own business. He's an entrepreneur. So my dad never had time for sports. I lived for sports. So my senior year, the two coaches I had in my high school, they had no interest in track. One of them was a soccer coach, one was a football coach. And they were just out there and they would just say to us, y'all run around. And then they would just do that dream and do their plans for football, that dream and do their plans for soccer. They had no care about that. And so I was out running, and I had qualified to be at the Junior Olympics, the top runners from the state. And I went into my dad, and I said to my dad, Dad, I don't have any coach. Would you help me? Now listen to me, fathers. My dad knew nothing about sports. Zero. And he said, so what do you want to do? And my best event was the triple jump. And he went and he bought books and he studied the triple jump. No coach, no athletic ability. You ever seen my dad play ball? My son says never. And so he said, all right, let's go. So we went out to university track and he says, this is what I saw and this is what you should do. In a month, I became one of the top triple jumpers in America. I didn't say in Georgia. I said in America. I got a scholarship worth $200,000 to Georgia Tech because my daddy was a father. He knew nothing about athletics, but he loved his son. I preach today. Because I grew up watching him preach. I don't know how to stop work until it's finished. Because that's the way my daddy did it. I know how to live with a strong woman. Because when I was growing up, I said, Dad, you need to set this woman in her place. She's way too loud, way too strong, talking your bit. And my dad says, son, she's a great woman. I'm a strong man because I know how to be patient. And they've built a phenomenal ministry, a phenomenal legacy. And at 88, they're still growing strong. And I still walk in and I look at my dad and my mother's going, ta 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 ta. And my dad's almost deaf, and it's the blessing of God. It's the blessing of God. Anybody calls my mother. Last time I said something, some of y'all called my mother. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to find names out. I'm finding names out. We're going to go on a hunt the next time y'all out me. You out. The apostle you would. Okay, good. See there? Now, people are already repenting that anyone didn't do nothing. A father's love is not an anchor to hold us back, neither is it a sail to take us there. But it's a guiding light that shows us the way. What is it that you want your children to say at your funeral, fathers? Isn't that a big question? What would you like it to be said about you? Then put that here. And then back up to today. And start being what you want them to say. Back up. Because you're writing your eulogy. You're writing what people are going to say. Though you're dead, this is what I want to be said. Take notes of this, son, at my funeral. Yes, I did email you both the sermon so that you both would. Yes, I did. Dad, in your eyes, I saw God's love. In your words, I heard God's wisdom. And through your life, I found His grace. That's what I want to be remembered by. And is He through building me? No, sir. He's building me every day because Esperanza and Christian were there. So I have to be a father to the next generation. They need to see. Because the truth is, Dave, I'm a much better version of when I raised him. I'm a better man. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. Today I want you just to reach out and touch somebody. And I want you to just say, God, we pray over the fathers in this house. We pray over the fathers in this city. We pray over the fact that God is building us up in our most holy faith. There's a sign over me that still says, under construction. I am. I'm still under construction. I still am. I want you to stand to your feet, everybody, and I just like the fathers of the house to come down. I don't have all the answers, but such as I have, I want to give you. In the name of Jesus. Such as I have, I want to give you in the name of Jesus. I want you to say this: 2018 is the year of the Father. It's the year I become a better father. It's the year that God builds me up. What a world we would live in, Dennis, with just good fathers. It would change everything. It would change everything. You're a great father, Luke. But you're going to be a better father this year because He's building you. You're such a great father. But you're going to be a better father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I thank you as my son and I come by. I just say in Jesus' name, the year of a father. In Jesus' name, the year of a father. In the name of Jesus, this is your year to be built up to influence so many, both here and in Jamaica, what it is to be a father. I was so proud of you the other night, David. You're a great father. Son, it was in the very essence of your wedding to be a great father. And what the generation before wasn't, you know what you are. But you're getting better. And he's building you up more and more and more and more. So many eyes are looking. He's building. Building you so strong to be a great, a better father, a great father, a good father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I anoint you to be a great, 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 great father. Hallelujah. Your year, 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 your year. I thank for explosion of fatherhood through your seed. Oh, Clarence, I just see fatherhood, that anointing in you. You need to take time to sit down with them and talk to them about fatherhood. Sit down with those boys and say, this is what a father. This is build them, build them, build them, build them. Coach them up, coach them up, coach them up. Coach them up. Your father. Such a great father. Your fathers. Your fathers. Your great fathers. Your great fathers. Your great fathers. 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 Great, great fathers, fathers. Everybody lift your hand out this way. I want you just to intercede for just for 1 minute. I want you to pray out loud. I want you to bless them in Jesus' name. I want you to bless them. I want you to bless them in Jesus' name. You are great, great fathers. Yes, you are. Don't you ever question it. You're a great father. You are a great, great father.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.